You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't.
It's all over right, now. We bring you to the finish live from Miss Anna.
You're dressing with class, well, you need. You're holding your sass, well, you need. Lights are low, it's time to go, let's close the show down. You're taking off weight, well, you needn't. You're looking just great, well, you needn't. You're setting the bait, well, you needn't. It's over now, it's over now.
And good morning, good afternoon. Welcome, Richmond. You are listening to The Defenders Live. I am your host, Anna Edwards. I hope you enjoyed a slightly longer segment of Carmen McRae doing Thelonious Monk. And well, you needn't. Today is Monday, December 14th, 2009. And very quickly, you are listening to a production of The Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality. To learn more, go to www.defendersfje.org. And as a quick reminder, we will be having on January 9th the Virginia People's Assembly for 2010. There will be the assembly itself and then the march, rally and march at Kanawha Plaza. And for more information, also go to the website for the VPA, which is www.vapeoplesassembly.org, and learn as much as you can about that. Bring your issues to the table for the General Assembly in a People's Assembly. We look forward to seeing you there. Today, my program is kind of a follow-up to a really lovely experience we had back in October when Richmond and Ségou, the second city of the West African nation of Mali, became sister cities. And the woman that I have in the studio with me today was present during the broadcast of that live show. And I was very happy to be able to bring her back because there were things that didn't get talked about during that spontaneous show that we thought we'd get a chance to cover today. So I'd like to welcome to the studio Aminata Hagje. She is the president and founder of an organization called Dimade. And Dimade stands for La Diaspora Malienne pour le Développement. And basically that means Malian Diaspora for Development and in Mali. So welcome, Aminata.
Thank you, Miss Anna. How are you?
Very good, very good. And with her is a man, Seydou Diarra, and he is a student at Howard University. Great. Welcome, and a friend and colleague with Aminata. And so we'll be talking a little bit about the objectives of Dimadé and get some insights into Mali that people may not have had before. So
absolutely.
Welcome.
Thank
tell
you.
Tell us a little bit about you and about Dimadé.
Thank you so much, Ms. Anna. I'm a mother of three. My name is Aminata Hagje. I was born in Mali, precisely in the city of Bamako, which is the capital. And I have been living in the U.S. for about almost 10 years. So recently, about 2 years ago, I came up with the idea of reuniting all the Malians in the diaspora. And that comes from me reading, you know, news from back home, what is going on. One day I was reading the news on about concerning our hospital.
Mm.
Basically, that's the title was "The Hospital is Sick." So when I was reading it,
that's not encouraging, is
it? It's not. The more I read the article, it was telling, you know, people comes to the hospital when, you know, healthy, but they get out of the hospital dead, or, you know, or worse than they were before.
Mm.
So as a citizen from that country, I said to myself, what can I do to help? Because not, I might have friends that are doctors, but to me, if it's not just about me, if I'm well and my neighbors are not well, for me, things are not well.
Right.
So if I'm going to go back to that hospital one day, which I will, and I have families back home that will go to that hospital, so how can we make it better for them? So I came up with an idea of, you know, trying to see how can all of us outside, how can we contribute to make that hospital better, to make health issues better, to make to contribute when in education, social life, development, all, you know, section of life. So not
right.
just about health, but, you know, anywhere that we can have an impact on.
Right, right.
Basically, that's how I came up, you know, trying to reunite all of us and for us to have an impact.
Sure,
in
sure.
our country.
And when we were talking earlier, mm-hmm. The part of the what you're looking at in terms of how you bring together all these Malians in the diaspora to do that, part of the discussion was that they're here working a lot of the time and sending money back,
yes.
but that money is going to help people individually, and
absolutely.
It's not having any collective impact.
Absolutely.
And so that's one of the ways that you're trying to
exactly
how do you corral people that
that's
way?
That's true. That's true. Because to me, it's about millions and millions that we send each year to back home to
mm-hmm.
the country to help. But I think we should come up with a more organized way to help. But they have to trust an organization in place, because people tried to do it before and then was mistrust.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I put myself. I did a lot of campaign, a lot of talking, a lot of meeting people, try to convince them to, you know, so we can come together and participate in a common issue, common problem that
right.
we have there. If we take education issue, so basically it's known we have lack of staff, we have lack of schools, we have lack of materials. So yearly, how can we all contribute, even if it's $100 per person? That can have a huge impact on education. If it comes to healthcare also, how can we assist our doctors to get better training? Should we bring them overseas, or should we have doctors to volunteers to go help and train the ones that are there already?
Mm-hmm.
So they can better assist the community. And also when it comes to community works, we tend to wait for the government to do everything all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's what we think. It's not that, you know, we don't want to do it, but we think that's how things should be.
Sure.
So we want to have an open talk with the new generation, especially the young people, to have discussion, organize discussion, meeting with them, and show them how can they contribute to
mm-hmm.
the communities. You know, they're workers, because when they come here, you can see how much they work. Some people work 2-3 jobs. Right. So, you know, when we see them back there, everybody's sitting around, because they really, I feel like they need direction. They need somebody just to guide them a little bit, and they will be able to do amazing stuff.
Right, so. Right. Well, and Seydou, you're here and you're going to Howard University. What are you studying?
I'm studying finance.
Finance. Right. And when you and I met at the embassy, you had talked about the fact that you were planning to go back home.
Right.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about your experience.
Okay. I decided after my graduation, which is I'm on my final year, that I'm planning to go back home to help my country for the way for development. I've been talking with Emmy, which is the president of DMAD, recently. It's been so we have to start work on some project. We was at New York last week, I guess, get some computer. We trying to open a center for the training to help girls for computer skills, which is so we trying to figure out which location would be the best, if it's Sekou or Bamako is the city place.
Sure.
So it's up to, we decide on it.
Yeah. How can we help in education?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
Education,
yeah, like. And that was the next, is that the education of girls is a particular focus. And as you're looking for what the projects are going to, you sort of, it's an interesting period that you're in, because you have to, as you say, you have to build the trust.
Absolutely.
You know, with the diasporic Malian community to want to, you know, put the faith in the fact that this could be a mechanism for this kind of more organized approach to help. And
absolutely.
Then the two things that you primarily talked about have been health, the health system, in essence, and and education of girls
absolutely.
In particular. So
absolutely.
Talk a little bit about the challenge with girls' education, because some people would think, well, you know, is it just, you know, what do people need if not just education, right?
Absolutely. Girls have, education is more favorable to boys than girls, because as girls, I was, you know, from Mali, I grew up, you are facing chores since you're little. By the age 10 already, I knew how to cook, I knew how to do laundry, take care of the family. So there are a lot of obstacles. You have the responsibilities that come to you earlier. When you go to school, when you come home, instead of focusing on, you know, reading or doing school works, you have to do the housework first. So the more you grow up, you find yourself taking care of the little ones.
Mm-hmm.
So you become
little mothers
too early.
Yeah.
And also, we have this cultural thing about, you know, women responsibility in the society. Of course, I think now the government in place is doing a lot better, you know, favor giving a lot of opportunities to women.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you look at the government, they have a lot of women that are ministers and head of cabinet. But I think that's in a smaller scale. We need to do more. When you go a little further in the village, they let the boys go to school, because for them, the more boys going to be a man one day, they're going to have find themselves taking care a family.
Sure.
But the girls are seen as somebody that will be staying home, taking care of the house, taking care of the kids. So they're less favorable. They don't send them to school. Instead, they stay home, do dishes, do house chores, take water, take care of the kids, and, you know, help mom out on everything they can. So, and also there's that other mentality when you go a little farther down the villages, which is the much, you know, bigger population. They think, some even say, okay, what's the point anyway sending a girls to school? When you send them, they will end up, you know, benefiting somebody else. So because it's not coming back home.
Right, because they'll get married.
Exactly, they will get married. Exactly.
Yeah.
And when you look at the age of girls that get married, about 75% get married under the age 17.
Wow.
So that's a big problem.
Right.
They drop out of school earlier, no matter how smart you are.
Mm-hmm.
At age, by age 16 or 17, when your breasts start coming out, you're seen as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing for your family, instead of forcing on, you know, sending you to school or for you to do better in school, they find you a husband, you know, for you to get married.
Right, right.
Because as women, it's seen as the wealth, actually, I can say, because there is, that husband is supposed to take care of you and also help your family a little
right.
bit.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. you know, they tend to send them quickly. They don't see if you stay in school, how can you benefit yourself?
Right.
You can, you know, on long term, you can benefit them also. They just want, you know, this quick thing. And that's, you know, is a burden on a lot of girls, or they drop out of school. They don't get technical. We don't have a lot of technical schools. Even somebody stop on the ninth grade, probably they can have another opportunities, mm-hmm. you know, to continue education. But unfortunately, we don't have a system like that in place.
Right.
And also, there are girls that come, you know, from the little village to Bamako as maids. Those girls work as you cannot imagine, mm-hmm. from 5 in the morning to midnight. And they don't get basically even $100 a month.
Right.
I believe they get some people like $20 salary.
Because they get room and board.
Exactly.
Exactly that, yeah.
They do mm-hmm. get that. Mm-hmm. So we can assist those girls also, mm-hmm. you know, to learn how to write, to learn how to read.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's not, education is just not about going to school.
Mm-hmm.
It's about getting knowledge, more information. And how the moment I believe somebody can read and write, you give them power
mm-hmm.
to do whatever they want to do in life.
Right.
Because if they can read, they can know about their surrounding. They can know about the news, what is going on.
Yeah,
you know,
how it affects them.
How it affects yeah. them, you know, how can they protest this, or, you know, is this okay? And then you give them that power of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, education for me, it's not just about getting them degrees or be doctors. And it's about, you know, giving them that head start of, mm-hmm. you know, everything they need in life.
Mm-hmm.
They, if they can write and read, they can be entrepreneurial for themselves. They can take care of, you know, they can help their kids with their homework.
Right.
You know, they can listen to the news. They can participate in conversation, in politics.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Is that do you think that's maybe a little threatening?
I think so.
Issues with men and women and
things yes.
like that.
Yes. Yeah. I think when the more women aware of their surrounding, men feel a little bit threatened by that. You know, they might say that woman is too open-minded.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they prefer, some men prefer to, you know, for the woman to stay in dark and not being able to have that freedom of
sure.
opinion.
It's interesting. It's really not been that long in the United States.
Absolutely.
It was, you know, very much like that. So
mm-hmm.
I think people in the United States sometimes tend to think that we're so far ahead and we're so progressive and stuff. You know, we're still really dealing with a lot of the same kinds of gender power issues in that regard. And the role of women, and it's really gone in different extremes depending on the level of opportunity and the level of, you know, not assertiveness, but the intention to reach the opportunities that you can and take full advantage of them. I think we've experienced women who have wanted to be all career and then later want to have families and are trying to sort of juggle what that has meant for them. And so it's just changed and I think enriched and informed what we're talking about when we say, you know, giving women the right to assert their capacity, like you said, a very, very smart women who don't have an education or don't have the knowledge to even potentially run their households better.
Absolutely.
You know, than they might. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I look at the news recently, it's about Diane Sawyer being an anchor on the news. So basically, and Katie also becoming a news anchor. So this, you know, when we think the United States is far,
mm-hmm.
you know, over us, but when you see still here, this is the these are the first women becoming a
right.
news anchor.
Right.
Then you go like, okay, we're gonna get there. It's not too late.
<That's right. laughs> Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things you're about to do is return to Mali.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are telling, why are you going back if you know, making good money, you have good work. I said, you know, like they said, there's no place like home. There's no place to learn. But
right.
also, I feel like I have this moral obligation to do something.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things that I think I can do. I can help. So me sitting back here would not help. We all, it has been a great experience living in the United States. I got great training. I met great people. I was able to experience both sides of the world. So the knowledge that I got here, I can go back and invest that in a positive way. Whatever I'm doing right now, of course, I'm not getting donations, but everything is coming out of my own pocket because I believe in that change. Right. I believe in helping. I believe in, you know, just that little support, being there for somebody.
That's right.
And for me, it's worth it. I am not rich. I don't have nothing. But yeah, my little salary that I get, I am investing it in, you know, traveling to go get computers from all the way to New York, mm-hmm, and bringing it here, organizing meetings, you know, advertising about how can we help. Right. All of that, it's all coming out of my own pocket, even though, you know,
it's
paycheck by paycheck. Right, like, but it's way worth it. It's way worth it. When I sit and see what is going on when you take our education system, mm-hmm, today it's not only girls, the boys, the universities. Teachers, we have a lack of professional staff. We need teachers. We need them. The one that we have, we need to retrain them. They need more training. Right. When you look at here, I work at a hotel. You see every now and then conferences about, you know, education. Teachers coming to get more knowledge. You know, how can we reform?
Absolutely.
Our education system. But back there, we don't have that. I have not seen it. Probably it is there, but I have not seen it.
Well, I think the continuing education piece for professionals, I think, is something that it's been going on, but it's gotten a new kind of understanding of how important it is to keep up, because the information does keep growing and you need to learn the new techniques.
Absolutely.
And keep yourself fresh.
You do. You absolutely do. When you look at our universities, I spoke with one of the university young men recently who came here. He told me there are classes that they take that about 1,300 of them in the class. I'm like, okay.
1,300 students in a class.
1,300 students in a class. I said, what are you guys learning?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's normal student university life. I said, no. They have amphitheaters where, you know, it's like small theater when a teacher comes in. I said, even if the teacher give you all one lesson, what are you guys going to learn from that? Or how can you even do homework on that and give it back to him?
Right.
How can he go through 1,300 students,
you
know, homework?
that's basically
impossible.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, we need to build, I believe those young men, for me right now, if we have resources, like if we can bring them materials to build their own school.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there will be some that are willing to put their own effort as, you know, bring whatever, not money-wise, but, you know, their own self to build the schools for themselves.
Sure. Their own motivation.
Their own motivation, because we have built school. When I was in first grade, I believe my elementary school, we built that school ourselves. We used to go, you know, all the way, walk miles and bring bricks, mm-hmm, you know, to build the school.
Yeah.
So that seems still we can do it.
Yeah.
But if we have, you know, if there's 13, that's just one, one class.
One class,
13.
Yeah.
So, you know, that means we have problem with, that's university with schools.
Right,
we need more schools.
Now, I know that we're sort of down to the last minute or two of the program, mm-hmm, as usual. We get good. I know that there's a new university that's going to come on board, I think in January, the University of Cebu.
Absolutely.
So I look forward to seeing how that
develops. Very excited.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I wanted to make sure you had a chance to tell people how to get in touch with you and learn more about the program.
Absolutely. You can check our website, www.dimade.org. That's dimade.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have all my information there, my email, my phone number, and you can absolutely contact me. And we are looking for whoever want to help. If we have teachers that are ready to volunteer, doctors, you know, schools that have materials, I'm going pretty soon. So I'm taking, you know, any kind of, you know, school computers or desk,
mm-hmm,
you know, anything that I can get my hands on and, you know.
Yeah, so it's material needs, but also
we need materials.
The communication, people.
People,
you need
absolutely.
The network of people who can
help. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're going back, you graduate this year?
I'm graduate, so I plan to go back next year.
Okay.
So I'll probably be working.
Yeah, he's a good help. He has been helping a lot. He dropped everything to drive me down to New York to get those stuff. So he drove me here. So he's very, very helpful for our organization.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I'm going back in what? In a month?
That's right.
So
I look forward to seeing you there.
Excited.
Your festivals, Show with Niger.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be there soon too.
This is really good. Well, I want to thank you, and I hope that maybe we can talk some more and do something by telephone, but we will keep in touch.
Absolutely.
So that we can keep people here informed, and I'll put some things on the website to to direct them to the, to your site and to keep some progress informed.
I would appreciate that.
I want to thank you both for coming today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
All right. And I want to thank everyone for tuning into the Defenders Live. And again, check the calendar, www.defendersfje.org, for what's coming up. And again, January 9th, Virginia People's Assembly. We want to see you there as well. Keep up the struggle. We will talk to you next week. Thanks.
You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now, it's over now. You're dressing with...